Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Navonier. Sitcoms in this hour. Later on, we hear The Great Gildersleeve from 1950. But right now, Richard Denning and Lucille Ball star in the series My Favorite Husband. This called Piano Lessons from CBS from January 14th, 1949.
Lucille Ball with Richard Denning.
Hey, look what I found, Liz. A stack of real old National Geographics. Oh, come over here and look at these old magazines.
No, thanks. They remind me of the dentist's office.
Oh, but they're full of wonderful stuff. Look, it says right here that in South Africa, the female wombat takes on a protective coloring and becomes invisible during the mating season.
No.
No explanation has been found, and it's very frustrating to science.
I'll bet it's more frustrating to the male wombat.
Oh, gee, look at this automobile ad from 20 years ago, Liz.
Oh, let me see. Oh, Doesn't that make you sad? New Cadillac, $1,100.
Lend me your handkerchief, Liz.
George, let's answer this ad. It's got a coupon on it.
Oh, don't be silly.
But it's my favorite model, a sport roadster with a rumble seat.
Say, do you remember those roadsters, Liz? With the isinglass curtains?
And the rumble seat.
And how tough it was to put the top up and down.
And the rumble seat.
And those hard tires that took 60 pounds pressure.
And the rumble seat.
Hey, wait a minute. What's with you and the rumble seat?
I was just remembering my college days, George. A couple of fellows drove us to school when I used to ride back and forth in the rumble seat.
Oh.
I'll never forget my college days. Gee, I sure got a wonderful education.
At college?
No, in the rumble seat. Say, what are you staying up here so long for anyway? Haven't you found those decayed ducks?
That's decoy ducks.
Oh, George, I just remember what happened to them. You know the charity bazaar last fall?
Yeah.
Guess what we used for targets in the shooting gallery?
You mean...
Yes, those little decoys have gone to the great duck pond up yonder.
Oh, well, I needed new ones anyway.
George, we ought to throw away some of this awful trash up here. That old iron junk, for instance.
Junk? That's my muscle-building equipment.
Too bad you never used it.
Thanks a lot. You know that my shoulders are 6 inches broader than they were before we got married?
Yes, I know.
And who can I thank for that?
Your tailor.
Nonsense. I built them up with this barbell.
Then how come when you take your coat off, they go back to their premarital size?
Oh, try and argue with a woman. I built them up by exercises like this. You lift the barbell off the... Can't budge it off the floor.
What happened to you, boy?
Nothing's happened to me. It's the barbell.
Oh.
You see, when iron stays in a cool, dark place, it becomes heavier.
Oh. I thought that when a muscle stays in a lazy, white arm, it becomes flabbier.
Very funny. Now, listen, Liz, if we're going to get rid of anything, we ought to sell that old piano you insist on keeping.
Sell my wonderful old piano?
Well, why all the sentiment? You never could play it.
I could, too, and I still can. Listen to this. How was that?
Fine. Now do it without the player piano.
I didn't think you'd notice.
Well, your feet gave you away.
Oh.
That's the only way you ever could play a piano, with your feet.
Oh, is that so? Well, name anything and I'll play it.
All right.
How about Glowworm?
How about the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto in B-flat minor?
How about Glowworm?
How about the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto in B-flat minor?
Did I hear someone say Glowworm?
No, you didn't.
All right, I'll play the Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto in B-flat minor.
You mean you really can play it?
Certainly. The Tchaikovsky Piano Concerto in B-flat minor.
Well,
quiet. This is very difficult.
I think the glowworm blew a fuse.
Well, this piano needs tuning, that's all. Oh, shut up. George Cooper, you make me so mad. I'll fix you.
Liz, put down that barbell.
All right.
Now, come on, Liz. Let's go downstairs.
Oh, no. Now you got me mad. I'm going to lick this glowworm if it takes all night. How do you think the piano looks in the living room?
It looks all right, Mrs. Cooper. I'm just glad that piano tuner's finished. He's been fiddling with it for hours.
He certainly didn't leave it very clean.
Say, that sounds fine. You play real good.
Katie, I'm cleaning the keys.
Oh. Well, if you don't mind my asking, Mrs. Cooper, how come you're taking piano lessons?
Oh, George makes me so mad. I'm just going to show him I'm not as untalented as he thinks. I used to play the piano pretty well.
Haven't you finished cleaning those keys yet?
Katie, this time I'm playing it.
Oh, pardon me.
It's all right. Now that it's tuned, George will see it was the piano that was at fault and not me. Can't even tune a piano. Oh, I wonder what's keeping Professor Krausmeier.
Krausmeier?
Yes, I located my old piano teacher. He gave me my first lesson when I was only 5 years old. I hope he realizes I'm grown up now.
And why?
Well, in those days, every time I did something wrong, he put me over his knee and spanked me.
Well, how often did that happen?
I never finished a lesson standing up. I'll let him in, Katie.
All right, Mrs. Cooper.
Why, hello, Professor Krausmeier.
Oh, little Lizzie. Oh, let me look at you. Ach, you don't look like a little Lizzie anymore. You look like a big Cadillac.
It's the same chassis with a little longer wheelbase.
And all the accessories, too.
Oh, thank you, Professor. Remember how you used to take me over your knee and spank me?
Yeah, and I remember that little song you used to play. Glau, little Glauberm, glimmer, glimmer. How is that poor little Glauberm?
Still suffering. Look, I found all my old music books.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Let me look, huh? Oh, 10 little tunes for 10 tiny fingers.
Yes, it comes out even. One tune for each finger.
And here's your old exercise book. Oh, you got one gold star on the singing mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got 2 gold stars on the happy frog.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and here's the glowworm.
What did I get on there?
One for stunken.
Oh, wait a minute. Here's a little note you wrote.
Uh-huh.
She claims the piano is out of tune. Oh.
A silly excuse you used. Only a child would try a stupid alibi like that.
Oh, here's a good one, the robin.
Oh, you used to be pretty good on that one. Please, go ahead, please.
All right. Pretty good, huh?
Lizzie, you got 10 fingers, haven't you?
Certainly.
Let me see your hands.
Why?
It sounds like you got 7 on one hand and 3 on the other.
Oh, Professor, you don't think I'm hopeless, do you?
Oh, nobody is hopeless. I can teach anybody to play the piano who possesses only 3 qualifications.
What are they?
A right hand, a left hand, and $5 an hour.
That settles it. Professor, I'm going to take lessons again. I have to learn at least one piece perfectly, or life won't be worth living around here.
Oh, I have the perfect piece for you. It's an old German folk song called Weit unten auf dem Schwaneflug. It goes like this. Weit unten auf dem Schwaneflug.
Oh, I know that song. It's called Way Down Upon the Swanee River.
Ach, they are translating everything these days. If you really want to show it off, you should go on my little radio program, you know. Yeah, Professor Krausmeier's Talent Scout. Each week I give a prize. Of course, that's just for my talented boobles.
Oh, well, that lets me out. I'm not a talented booble.
Well, now, if you would take 3 lessons a week, I might consider you talented enough to go on it.
Oh, I see. Mother Nature doesn't give out the talent anymore. You do, huh?
Well, we work hand in hand.
I guess. Tell me, Professor, how talented would I have to be to win this radio contest?
5 lessons a week?
5 lessons at $5. Professor, it's a deal. I'm going to win that contest and impress George if it takes all the talent I have in the bank.
Katie, how long can this go on?
I don't know, Mr. Cooper. She's been playing 3 days and hasn't reached the river yet.
When she does, I hope she falls in.
We even got a telegram asking her to stop.
No. Who sent it? The neighbors?
I think it really was, but they signed it the Friends of Stephen Foster.
I'd better go in and try to reason with her. Maybe I can bribe her to stop. Liz! Liz! Oh, Liz!
George, please don't sing when I'm playing.
I've been yelling at you for 5 minutes.
Well, I'm sorry, dear. I didn't hear you.
Well, how can you stand to hear the same mistakes over and over all day long?
Well, I don't listen. I have cotton in my ears.
Look, why don't you stop this whole thing? I take back what I said. You're great. You play very well.
Really?
Honest Injun.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, George. I was going to give up, but you've given me the strength to continue.
Oh, what's the use? Goodbye.
See you later, dear.
Well, how'd you make out with Iturby?
Oh, she wouldn't listen to me.
She wouldn't?
No, in fact, she won't even listen to herself.
Oh, isn't there anything we can do?
I think I'll go down to see Professor Krausmeier.
Hey! She made it!
I'd better get to Krausmeier in a hurry. Now there'll be no stopping. Professor Krausmeier, I'm Liz Cooper's husband.
Oh, come in, come in. Tell me, has she made it to E River?
Yes, today.
Congratulations.
Professor, I came to ask you to make Liz give up the piano. She's about the worst.
Wait! Your hands.
Huh? What about them?
So artistic. When you came in the door, I said, there are the hands of a pianist.
Really? Well, you're wrong, although I did play the violin a little in high school.
When you came in the door, I said, there are the hands of a violinist. I just happened to have this old violin in my studio. Go ahead, play.
Oh, but I've forgotten everything I ever knew.
Oh, nonsense. True talent never dies.
Well,
go ahead, play. Heifetz, move over.
Yeah, I guess it did sound pretty good at that.
Hold it, hold it. You don't want to get stale, Yasha.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my, so much talent in one family. Oh, you will go, Blazer.
Oh.
No, I can see it now. George and his magic violin, and Liz and her makes you glad you're not a Glover, Moosey.
Oh, but, Professor, I don't have time to take lessons.
Now, look, Mr. Cooper, I'll let you in on a secret. I got a little radio program. Each week, I hold a contest. Now, your wife is going to be on it this week. How would you like to be on it and win? On the basis of talent, of course. Say for $50.
It'll be worth it to beat Liz at her own game. It's a deal, Professor.
Stop that racket, George. I'm trying to practice.
You stop. I'm trying to practice.
All right. We'll just see who's the stubbornest. Where'd that harmonica music come from?
Me. I'm playing it in self-defense.
Oh, this is all your fault, George.
I'm going to be on that radio contest of Krausmeier's, too.
You?
Yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if I walked off with the first prize.
I would. What would you like to bet you don't win, George?
Well, make it easy on yourself. But I'll have to warn you, I got my information right from the jockey.
The jockey, huh? Mm. Shake hands with the horse. I'll just bet $100, George Cooper.
You've got a bet.
Oh, are you a sucker?
From now on, Liz, I mean business. May the best man win. Shake.
Okay, and don't be surprised if the best man turns out to be a woman.
Liz, what have you done? You've ruined my violin.
All I did was glue the strings together.
All you did?
Well, you were having so much trouble with four strings, I thought one big one would be better.
Oh. Oh, for goodness sakes, come to bed, Liz.
Do you mind if I give my hands their nightly beauty care?
Oh, are you going to wear those gloves filled with hand cream to bed again?
Yes, I am. I'm wearing them whether you like it or not. Say, these gloves feel funny.
Do they?
I can't get them off. George Cooper, what did you put in these gloves?
Quick drying cement.
Oh! Well, this isn't going to stop me. I'll play on that program if I have to get a new book called 10 Tiny Tunes for 10 Tiny Toes.
Oh, aren't you dressed yet, Liz? It's almost time to leave for the radio studio.
I just have to put on my dress. I bought it specially for tonight. Why don't you get dressed?
Well, it doesn't take me as long as it takes you.
Mm.
Hey, where is your dress?
Right there on the... It's gone. George Cooper, what'd you do with my dress?
Nothing. Oh, it's too bad, Liz. You wouldn't wear any of your old ones. Well, I guess you'll just have to stay home.
That's what you think. I happen to have a whole closet full of... Oh, my clothes are all gone.
Oh, what a pity. Hmm.
You're so smart.
Hey, where are you going?
Right out here in the hall.
Hey! Hey, let me out of here. Let me out of here, Liz. Liz!
Well, that takes care of my competition. Oh, my goodness, what am I going to wear? Oh, I'll see if there isn't something I can wear in George's room.
Open that door! Hey, Liz!
That was little Danny Thielen, age 12. Thank you, Danny. You keep on playing like that, and who knows what will happen to you. now we will hear from Esther Weiss, Zimble student. Esther, I go look for her. Where is she?
I haven't seen her.
Oh, hello, Mr. Cooper.
Mrs. Cooper.
That's a nice-looking suit you have on.
Oh, do you like it? I thought the pants were a little too long.
Crazy people. Well, I gotta find Esther. Mrs. Cooper, maybe she's in the... would you go look and see if she's in the...
I wouldn't dare in these clothes.
Oh,
good, good. Oh, here she comes now. Hurry up, Esther, hurry up. By the way, where is Mrs. Cooper, Mr. Cooper? The other Cooper, where?
Oh, I'm sorry. He asked me to tell you he couldn't get out tonight.
I'm ready.
Oh, good. And now we will hear from Esther Weiss, symbol student.
I am Esther Weiss, age 5 1/2. I will play Beethoven's 9th Symphony on the...
All right, Esther, go ahead. Thank you, Esther Weiss. And now for our last contestant, we hear from Liz Cooper at the piano.
Hi, Liz.
George, how did you get here?
I slid down the drain pipe.
That's a lovely dress you're wearing.
Do you like it? The skirt's a little short.
That's my sunsuit.
Oh, that's what it is. Hasn't it got an awfully low neckline?
You got it on backwards.
Well, now, for our last contestant, Liz Cooper at the piano.
Last contestant? That's going to be me.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Now, what's going on here? What's the matter, Mrs. Cooper?
That's Mrs. Cooper.
Ach, you're both here. But there's only time for one of you.
Well, which one?
That's something you'll have to decide between you.
I'll play.
That's what you think. Out of my way.
No, wait. Come back. You both can't play.
My name is George Cooper.
My name is Liz Cooper.
Age 36.
My name is Liz Cooper.
I'll play Humoresque.
I'll play Way Down Upon the Suwannee River.
But you both can't play at the same time.
One, two...
Wait. You could at least play the same tune. One of you change to the other one.
All right.
One, two.
That worked out fine.
Who won, Professor?
You both won. I give you the prize for the best duet. 6 months free lessons with Professor Krausweil.
Oh, no!
What's the matter?
You ought to be ashamed.
Hey, what's the idea of slapping me?
That's for the way you acted in my dream.
Oh, what was I doing?
You were smooching with Betty Grable.
Oh, Liz. You know, I was dreaming, too, about you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You were dancing with Gregory Peck, but you don't see me getting angry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where were you in your dream?
Oh, I was out on the patio, smooching with Betty Grable.
Oh! No. That's for me and Betty Grable. Good night, George.
My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning, was produced for broadcast in the Frankfurt studios of the American Forces Network Europe by Air Force Sergeant Dave Schofield. Specialist Brad Scott speaking. Join us next time for My Favorite Husband.
My Favorite Husband, on Tuned to Yesterday, heard on CBS on January 14, 1949. That was an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for The Great Gildersleeve from April 12, 1950 on NBC. Harold Perry, our star, he'll also be singing Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes in this broadcast, a well-known English song whose lyrics derived from a 17th century poem by Ben Jonson. Not that it was ever a Billboard hit, but the song was also featured in the same year of this broadcast in the Merry Melodies cartoon The Scarlet Pumpernickel, featuring Daffy Duck. This next episode, called Billy Goat.
The Kraft Foods Company, makers of Kraft Quality Foods, presents Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is a busy man, but he's never too busy to give advice to little Leroy, whether he asks for it or not. Today, Leroy's asking for it.
Hey, Unc, you got a minute?
Well, I have to get to the office, Leroy.
But I want to ask you about a business deal.
Business deal?
And you're a sharp businessman.
Well, yes. What an intelligent little fellow. What's on your mind, Leroy?
Boss Callahan down the street wants me to take over his paper route. He'll give me half the profits.
Half the profits?
Sure. All I have to do is fold the papers and deliver them to the people.
And what does Buzz Callahan do?
He handles the details.
Details on a paper route? Oh, my goodness. You do need advice. Leroy, you don't want that job.
I don't?
Of course not. Buzz Callahan sits back and collects the money while you run your legs off. Use your head, Leroy, not your feet.
Oh, gosh, I'm just a little kid. My head isn't grown up yet.
Your head is just as good as anybody's. Don't forget, Leroy, you're my nephew.
Yeah.
The men of our family have always done well. We've been leaders, captains of industry. I use my head every day. How do you suppose I got to be water commissioner?
Political pull?
No, Leroy. It's because I did an efficient job. I proved I was capable of running the department. I knew how to get somebody else to do the work. I mean, I've got Bessie at the office, Charlie Anderson at the reservoir, and a meter reader. They all work for the water commissioner.
Yeah, but that's not helping me. I need some dough.
Well, you have your allowance, my boy.
Yeah, but it don't stretch far enough anymore. One movie and a couple of bubble gums and I'm busted.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do then. Rather than see you working for Buzz Callahan, I'll give you 50 cents a week to mow the lawn.
50 cents a week?
You bet. And here it is, in advance.
Oh, boy, thanks, Unc. I'm going right out and start mowing.
Now, wait a minute, Leroy.
Huh?
There you go, using your feet again. Haven't you gotten anything out of our little talk?
Sure. 50 cents. Yeah.
Naturally, Leroy. But if you're going to use your head and be a businessman, you'd offer Buzz Callahan a quarter to mow the lawn and keep a quarter for yourself.
Say, that's a keen idea. Gee, you're smart, Unc.
Well.
I bet there's nothing that you don't know.
Now, Leroy, there's probably a lot of things I don't know. Of course, I can't think of them right at the moment. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
How's the water department?
Oh, it's running.
That's a tribute to good management, Bessie.
It is?
You bet. I can stop, but the water keeps running. And I think I'll stop for a while. Now, let's see what we have to do. Bessie, what's on the calendar for today?
April 12th.
What?
And a quarter moon.
A quarter, oh my goodness. Bessie, I mean, do I have any appointments? Has anybody called?
Well, the phone was ringing when I came from the malt shop this morning.
Malt shop? Who was it, Bessie?
So I ran down the hall, and when I got to the door, it was locked, and the phone kept ringing, and I couldn't find my keys in my purse, and the phone rang and rang.
Hurry, Bessie, hurry.
Yes, sir. Well, I finally found my keys, and I got the door open, and I rushed inside while the phone kept ringing and ringing.
Bessie, who was it?
I don't know. They hung up.
Oh.
And then the phone rang again.
Bessie, I can't go through another phone call.
But this was Judge Hooker.
Oh, the judge?
Yes, he said to tell you he'd be by your house this evening. He said he wanted some advice.
Advice? Well, that's the second time this morning I've been asked for advice. It isn't even 10 o'clock yet.
Mr. Gildersleeve, will you give me some advice?
Of course, Bessie. What do you want to know?
Mr. Gildersleeve, every time I go to the malt shop, a tall, handsome man winks at me.
Oh? Well, what's your problem?
Should I wink back?
My advice, Bessie, is strictly about business.
Well, he winks at me during business hours.
What a secretary. What a wonderful time of day. Between sunset and dusk. So quiet. Not a human sound to break the silence.
Gildy!
Oop. Still not a human sound. What the old goat wants. Hello, Judge.
Evening, Gildy. Can I have a little talk with you before dinner?
Of course, Horace. Come on in the house.
Thank you.
There you are.
Miss Gildy!
Yes, Bertie? Bertie, he's here.
Well, you got to get rid of that old goat Leroy brought home.
Oh, Leroy's old goat. What's this?
Evening, Judge.
Evening, Bertie. What about Leroy and a goat?
That's what he's got, a goat. That's just what he's got.
Oh, for where did Leroy get a goat?
I don't know where he got it, but I know where it's got to go.
Now, Bertie, don't get excited.
Mr. Gillsleeve, he ate every flower in the pansy bed.
What, Bertie?
And you ought to see my clothesline. That goat's got a goat.
Did he eat the clothesline too, Bertie?
No, sir, he didn't eat the clothesline.
Well, good.
He ate your socks off the clothesline.
Watch it, Judge.
That goat's into everything. That's the nosiest old goat I ever saw. That goat's got to go.
All right, Bertie.
Mr. Gillsleeve, you know what that goat's got to do?
Yes, Bertie.
That's right. That goat's got to go.
I gotta go, too. I'll be back in a minute, Judge. Leroy! Are you in there, Leroy?
Yeah, come on in.
Leroy, Bertie tells me you brought home a goat.
Yeah, keen, huh?
Young man, that goat's got to go.
But, Unc...
I know how you like animals, my boy, but this is going too far. He's already trampled our pansy bed and eaten my socks off the clothesline.
Just your old green ones, Unc. Maybe he thought they were big leaves.
Who ever heard of Argyle leaves, Leroy? You'll have to take that goat back where you got him, you understand?
Okay. Gosh, and he's my first big business deal.
Business deal?
Sure, Unc. Remember you told me to use my head and hire Buzz Callahan to mow the lawn for half of what you pay me?
Well, yes.
Buzz wouldn't do it, so I bought a goat to eat the grass.
Eat the grass?
Sure. We're both businessmen, Unc. You got Bessie and Uncle Charlie and the meter reader working for you, and I got the goat working for me.
But, Leroy, a goat won't eat all that grass.
He will when he finishes the pansies.
Yep. Leroy, how much did you pay for that goat?
$3 on the installment plan.
Only $3 for a whole goat?
Yeah. For some reason, the man didn't want him around anymore.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Yeah. You're paying me 50 cents a week to cut the grass, and I pay the man a quarter a week for the goat. I clear a quarter, and the goat does all the work.
Say, that's pretty shrewd thinking of that.
But you deserve the credit, Unc.
I do.
You told me how to be a businessman.
Yeah, I guess I did.
So I can keep the goat, huh, Unc? I'm just a little kid.
Well, what's wrong with a little kid having a goat? Don't worry, I'll take care of it, my boy. Yes, sir. Hi, George, that boy has a head on his shoulders. Imagine buying a goat for only $3 on the installment plan and no carrying charges. He's going to grow up to be just as smart as his old uncle.
Well, what's the verdict, Gildy?
Huh? Well, Bertie got all upset about nothing, Horace. Leroy, explain the whole thing to me. It's entirely possible that that goat was a very shrewd investment.
You mean you're going to keep the animal?
Yes, indeed. Come on out in the backyard, Judge. Let's have a look at him, huh?
But, Gildy, why do you want a goat around the house?
He's going to mow the lawn, Judge.
Mow the lawn? A goat?
Certainly. He'll eat the grass. Little Leroy's idea.
I see.
Yeah, quite a boy. He's developing a great head for business. I'm helping him, of course. After you, Judge.
Thank you. I thought Bertie said the goat had to go.
Ah, Bertie will get used to him. After he eats the grass, maybe he'll eat the tin cans. Then Bertie won't have to carry him out on Tuesdays.
Goats do not eat tin cans, Gilda. That's a fallacy. They just like the paper labels and the mucilage.
Well, you ought to know.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Wonder where he is. Oh, there he is, looking at us from behind the apple tree.
Yeah. Gilda, if you don't mind, I think I'll wait on the porch.
Oh, for it. All right, Judge. I'm going to get acquainted with him. Hello, goat. Wonder what his name is. Probably Billy. Hello, Billy. Yeah, it is Billy, all right. Pretty sociable little goat. Coming out from behind the tree.
He has nice horns, Gilda.
Huh? Yeah. Now, let's not get too friendly, Billy. Wonder why he's twitching his tail. Goat, don't look at me like that. Don't lower your head now. Now, goat, Billy, you wouldn't want to butt me. I live here. I'm Leroy's uncle.
You take my advice, Gilda. You run for it.
Well, maybe if I just back up slowly. Oh, brother, he's coming. I better run for it. Open the door, Judge.
It's open.
See, I made it.
He's going to hit the door, Gilda.
Split the door right down the middle. That goat's got to go.
Yeah.
And you too, Judge.
The great Gildersleeve will be with us again in just a minute. Now, here's our last chance to tell you about Gildy's Blade. The amazing knife spatula Parquet Margarine is offering you at a tremendous saving. Thousands of orders have already been received for this unique bargain. The supply is limited. Gildy's Blade is a sensational new idea. It combines, for the first time, the three things you need most in kitchen cutlery. A fine knife for slicing. A fine knife for cutting. A fine kitchen spatula, all in one handle. Yes, Gildy's Blade is a 7-inch blade of mirror-finished spring steel set in an imported rosewood handle. One side of the blade has a lifetime serrated edge. It's a superb slicer for bread, cake, fruits, vegetables. The other side has a hand-honed, razor-keen straight edge for all kinds of cutting. And the blade itself is spatula-shaped. You slice, you cut, you turn, you mix, you scrape. All with this one superb implement. Now, you can't buy anything like Gildy's Blade at any store. If you could, it would sell for at least $2. But you can get this amazing knife spatula through Parquet Margarine for only 50 cents, plus the label or wrapper from a loaf of bread and the red end flap of a package of Parquet Margarine. Get this amazing knife spatula. Send for Gildy's Blade tomorrow. Let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. Yesterday, he was very proud when Leroy made his first business deal, the shrewd purchase of a $3 goat. Today, as our water commissioner wends his way homeward, he doesn't think so much of the deal.
Hard for me to tell little Leroy to get rid of the animal. After all, I told him not to take the paper out. Still, I can't have that goat chasing me every time I leave the house. Someday, my luck's going to run out. Well, look at that. Peavy has a new window display. Hot water bottles. Nice. Hello, Peavy.
Well, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Nice window display you have, Peavy.
Well, I didn't know hot water bottles were that interesting.
Well, they are to me. Anything that plugs water, I'm for.
Well, I wouldn't sell a hot water bottle without a plug.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a little witticism, Mr. Gildersleeve. Plug in a hot water bottle?
I get it, Peavy.
What can I do for you this afternoon, Mr. Gildersleeve? Sell you a hot water bottle?
No, Peavy. Just stopped in on my way home. I'm going to get my car and take Catherine out to dinner.
Oh? I thought perhaps you were spending the evening at home with your goat.
What?
The judge was in.
Oh, yes, the judge. Well, it's not my goat, Peavy. It's Leroy's. that's becoming a real problem.
You don't say.
Every time I set foot out of the house, he chases me.
My. Has he caught you yet?
He's not going to either. He doesn't bother Leroy, nor Marjorie, nor Bertie. I can't understand why he goes after me.
Well, perhaps he considers you a better target.
Yep. Phoebe.
Just an observation, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, well, something has got to be done about the creature.
When I was a boy, I had a goat, and I don't mind saying he had a lot of good qualities.
Really? Say, Phoebe, I'll bet you'd like to buy this goat.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Cheap? Free? Phoebe, if I were to give him to you free, what would you say? Ooh.
You leaving, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, Bertie. I'm taking Miss Milford to dinner this evening. There'll be just you and Marjorie and Leroy.
Yeah, me and Marjorie and Leroy and that no good goat.
Well, don't you worry about him, Bertie.
You know where I found him sleeping this morning, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I'm afraid to ask.
Up in Leroy's old pigeon roost.
What?
He climbs like a cat and he'll sleep any place. He's a no good goat.
Well, he's no friend of mine, Bertie.
No, sir. There's good goats and there's bad goats. He's a bad goat.
That's right, Bertie, but I've got to go now.
You going out through the backyard?
Yeah.
You want me to go with you?
No, I guess I'll make it all right. Thank you, Bertie. Thank you very much. See you later. Now, if I can just make it to the car without attracting that goat's attention. He doesn't seem to be around any place. So far, so good.
Hey, Uncle!
Leroy!
Have you seen Billy?
No, and he hasn't seen me.
Gosh, I can't find him.
Well, good.
I wonder if he jumped the fence and ran away.
He might have. You know how goats are, Leroy. Here today and gone tomorrow, thank goodness.
But, Uncle, he's my business investment. I've still got to pay for him.
Well, my boy, if he's disappeared, I'll pay for him. Gladly.
No kidding?
Absolutely, my boy.
Okay, he's disappeared.
All right, here's your $3. Is that right?
Well, I've been checking the prices on goats, Unc, and they just went up.
Oh, they did.
This one just went up 50 cents.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm buying a goat on the bull market. Yeah, but it's worth it, my boy. Here's your extra 50 cents.
Thanks, Unc. How am I doing in business?
Yeah, better than I am. Gotta get out of here while I've got enough money left to take Catherine to dinner. Leroy, who left this car door open?
I guess I did. Remember last night when you made a run for the back porch? I had to go out and turn off the ignition.
Oh, yes. Well, goodbye, my boy.
Bye.
Wonder where that darn goat went to. Where would I go if I were a goat? Nah, he wouldn't go there. Well, he's gone. That's all that matters. Nice little place Catherine and her mother have here. Katie, beautiful Katie. Here she comes. You're the only girl that I adore.
Oh, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oop, her mother. Well, good evening, Mrs. Milford.
My, you have such a rich voice.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're all man, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Is Catherine ready?
Hello, Throckmorton.
Here she is. She's been primping for you.
Oh, Mother.
Well, nice primping, too. You look stunning, Catherine.
Doesn't Mr. Gildersleeve say the nicest things? He sang to me.
Oh.
We better be going, huh? Ta-ta, Mrs. Milford.
Ta-ta.
Bye, Mother.
Nice old soul, your mother.
Mm-hmm. She's one of your staunchest admirers.
Mm.
It's nice of you to take me out to dinner, Throckmorton.
Well, I'm ready for it. Climb in, Katie. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've had a hectic day.
You have?
Yeah, we've had a goat on our hands.
A goat?
Mm-hmm.
Did somebody turn it in on a water bill?
Yeah. No. Leroy brought him home, but at last we're rid of him.
Oh. What did you do with him?
I didn't have to do anything. He just disappeared.
I suppose little Leroy's brokenhearted.
Not Leroy. He made money off the creature hand over fist.
Well, he'll probably come back.
Nah. That goat's miles away by this time. You know, goats are supposed to be so smart. Well, this one didn't fool me. I had his number right from the very beginning.
Good heavens. What's that?
Oh, Billy. He was sleeping in the back seat. Oh, for goodness sake, a stowaway goat. I'm sorry, Gatham. I'll have to take him back home and pick you up later.
Yes, I guess you'd better.
Confounded animal. This time, Leroy has got to get rid of him. Stop breathing down the back of my neck.
Come on, Billy. I gotta get rid of you. Uncle Mort's orders. You can't stop and nibble on every lawn we pass. Come on, will you?
Is that you, Leroy?
Oh, hello, Mrs. Milford.
Where are you going with that goat?
I don't know. I'm trying to get rid of him. Unc says he never wants to see him again. I can't understand it.
My, he's a nice little fellow.
Yeah, but I can't find anybody who wants him. I've been all over the neighborhood.
It's getting awfully late, Leroy. Don't you think you should go home?
I don't dare go home until I find somebody to take Billy.
Oh, you poor boy. How much do you want for him?
You wouldn't want him, Mrs. Milford.
Well, I was just thinking I could send him out to my brother's farm.
Hey, that'd be keen. He'd like a farm.
How much did you pay for the goat?
$3.
Will you take $3 for him?
Again? I mean, yeah, sure.
Bring him in the yard and I'll get my purse.
Oh, boy, another $3. I should have been in business long ago.
We'll close the gate so he can't get out.
Ah, this is awfully nice of you, Mrs. Milford. Uncle will appreciate it.
I'm glad to do it. I like to do nice things for Mr. Gildersleeve.
Been a lovely evening, Throckmorton.
Yeah. Too lovely to break up this early, Catherine.
Well, I have to be at the hospital in the morning.
Darn hospital. Care to swing on the porch a while?
Well, it's so dark out here.
Well, there's only a quarter moon, and that's behind the house. Great night for swinging.
Well, we might sit in the swing a minute.
Good. What are you laughing at?
I was just thinking about you and that goat.
Him.
I think he just liked to tease you.
Well, he wasn't a bad goat. It was good business experience for Leroy.
Yes, I suppose.
Sure. Bringing up a boy these days, a person has to make a few little sacrifices. But I feel that I came out ahead all the way around.
Certainly is dark out here.
Mm-hmm.
I can hardly see you.
Oh? Well, I'll move a little closer so you won't lose me.
That's close enough. I can see you now.
Nice. There's your mother at the piano. Oh, nice left hand.
Drink to me only with thine eyes. One of my favorites.
Yeah, mine too. Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine. Or leave a kiss within the cup, and I'll not ask for wine. Catherine, did I hear a goat? I did.
I see him. He's lying right there on the porch.
Oh, for... How did he get over here?
He's getting up, Throckmorton.
So am I. Good night, Catherine.
Don't run, Throckmorton.
Don't run, she says. See you later.
Look out, Throckmorton.
If I can just make it to the gate. Oh! I didn't make it. Flat on my face.
Throckmorton, did he knock you down?
No, I always go home this way. What a man goes through to raise a boy these days. Leroy.
We'll hear from Gildy again very shortly. Final instructions. To get Gildy's Blade, amazing knife spatula, just send 50 cents. The label or wrapper from any loaf of bread, and the red end flap of a package of Parquet margarine to Kraft Foods Company, Box 5939, Chicago 77, Illinois. Get your order in tomorrow.
Hi, Unc. What you doing?
I'm lying on the couch, resting.
Why are you lying on your stomach?
Never mind.
Gee, I sure made money on that goat. Got any more business ideas, Unc?
Yes, my boy. You go back to Buzz Callahan and tell him you'll take that paper out.
But, Unc, that's working with my feet again. You said I should work with my head.
Leroy, from now on, you work with your feet. It's much safer for me.
The Great Gildersleeve on Tuned to Yesterday from April 12th, 1950 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for tuning in.